very quickly. 911 calls would go out to police, fire officials, and emergency paramedic units. Sodium vapor lights would come on throughout the house and grounds. Alarms in the attic and basement would emit ear-splitting shrieks. Magnetic media degaussers placed strategically throughout the room would generate targeted magnetic fields for 15 seconds, wiping all data from the hard disks. And finally, an EMP shock pulse generator would fire, completely disrupting all the microprocessor circuitry and electronics in the second floor room. The finger settled onto the button.
"Good evening, ma'am," came the unmistakable voice from the darkness of the hallway.
The finger jerked away.
"Pendergast?"
The special agent nodded and stepped into the room. For a moment, the man in the wheelchair was nonplussed.
"How did you get in here? My security system is state-of-the-art."
"Indeed it is. After all, I paid for its design and installation."
The man wrapped the bathrobe more closely around his narrow frame. His composure was quick to return.
"We had a rule. We were never to meet face to face again."
"I'm aware of that, and I deeply regret having to break it. But I have a request to make, and I felt that, by making it in person, you would better understand its urgency."
A cynical smile slowly broke over Mime's pale features.
"I see. The secret agent man has a request. Another request, I should say, of the long-suffering Mime."
"Our relationship has always proceeded on a, how shall I put it, symbiotic basis. After all, wasn't it only a few months back that I arranged for a dedicated fiber-optic line to be installed here?"
"Yes, indeedy. Allowing one to bask in 300 Mbps goodness. No more purloined sips from the T3 soda straw for me."
"And I was instrumental in having those troublesome charges against you dropped. You'll recall the ones from the Department of Defense, alleging—"
"Okay, secret agent man, I haven't forgotten. So, what can I do for you this fine evening? Mime's Cyber Emporium is open for all your hacking needs. No firewall too thick, no encryption algorithm too strong."
"I need information on a certain person, ideally her whereabouts. But anything will do. Medical files, legal issues, movement. Starting from the time of her presumed death and going forward."
Mime's sunken, strangely childlike visage perked up at this.
"Her presumed death?"
"Yes, I am convinced the woman is alive. However, there is a 100% certainty she is using an assumed name."
"But you know her real name, I assume?"
Pendergast did not answer for a moment.
"Helen Esterhazy Pendergast."
"Helen Esterhazy Pendergast?"
Mime's expression grew more interested still.
"Well, dust my broom."
He thought for a moment.
"Naturally, I'll need as much personal data as you can provide if I'm to fashion a sufficiently girthy search avatar of your...
wife."
And Pendergast passed over a thick folder. Mime reached for it eagerly, turned over the pages with his withered hand.
"It would appear you've been holding out on me," he said.
Pendergast did not reply directly. Instead, he said,
"Searches through official channels have turned up nothing."
"Ah, so M. Logos came up dry, did it?"
When Pendergast did not answer, Mime chuckled.
"And now secret agent man wants me to try it. From the other side of the cyber street. Lift up the virtual carpet and check what's beneath. Probe the seamy underbelly of the information superhighway."
"An unfortunate mix of metaphors, but yes, that is the general idea."
"Well, this may take a while. Sorry there isn't a chair. Feel free to bring one in from the next room. Just don't turn on any lights, please."
Mime gestured toward a large insulated food container that sat in one corner.
Twinkie?
Thank you, no.
Suit yourself.
For the next 90 minutes, not a single word was spoken. Pendergast sat in a darkened corner, motionless as a Buddha, while Mime wheeled himself from terminal to terminal, sometimes typing in a rapid-fire volley of commands, other times poring over lengthy readouts, scrolling down one of the innumerable LCD monitors. As the minutes slowly passed, the figure in the wheelchair grew more sunken and discomposed. Sighs grew more frequent. Now and then, a hand slapped against a keyboard in irritation. Finally, Mime wheeled back from the central terminal in disgust.
Sorry, Agent Pendergast,
he said in a tone that sounded almost contrite. Pendergast glanced toward the hacker, but Mime was facing the other way, his back to the agent.
Nothing?
Oh, there's a great deal, but all before that trip to Africa. Her work at Doctors with Wings, school records, medical evaluations, SAT scores, books borrowed from a dozen different libraries, even a poem she wrote in college while babysitting some kid.
To a child upon losing his first tooth, Pendergast murmured.
That's the one. But after the lion attack, zip!
Mime hesitated.
And that usually means only one thing.
Yes, Mime, Pendergast said. Thank you.
He thought for a moment.
You mentioned school records and medical evaluations. Did you come across anything unusual? Anything at all? Something that perhaps struck you as strange or out of place?
No, she was a picture of health. But then you must have known that. And she seems to have been a good student. Decent grades in high school, excellent grades in college. Did well as far back as elementary school, in fact. Which is surprising, considering...
Considering what?
Well, that she spoke no English.
Pendergast rose slowly out of his chair.
What?
You didn't know? It's right here.
Mime wheeled himself back to the keyboard, typed rapidly. An image came onto the screen, a transcript of some kind, typed on a manual typewriter with handwritten notations at the bottom.
The Maine Department of Education digitized all its old records a few years back,
Mime explained.
See the notation here, attached to Helen Esterhazy's second-grade report card?